Sometimes when I'm traveling to my sister's house near Toledo, I'll take a bit of a different route in order to pass through an area that was part of my growing up. I guess it's a bit of nostalgia. So, for example, I'll drive down Genoa Clay Center Road, passing the site where my elementary school used to be, Allen Central Elementary School. Now, you can't even tell that the school used to be there. The building was taken down and a big grassy area created, and eventually that became a park with a sports field and a walking path and a gazebo and picnic area. It doesn't feel the same at all. The building is gone, the parking lot is gone, all the cars during the day that were there, and certainly the teachers and all the kids keeping busy inside the school walls. It's almost impossible to imagine all of that is gone. Jesus' audience must have had a very difficult time imagining his prediction in our gospel today, that the Jerusalem temple would actually be gone, knocked down, with no stone upon another stone. The temple would be totally demolished. Jesus' prophecy actually got fulfilled about 40 years after he spoke it. The temple in Jerusalem was totally demolished in the year 70 AD. Who could have imagined that happening? You see, the temple was the privileged place for encountering God. The temple was where God's presence was thought to be most real. Furthermore, it was from the temple that God would sustain his people Israel. Furthermore, his presence in the temple was actually thought to sustain the whole world. Take down the temple building and you're losing the presence of God, which suggests you could lose the nation of Israel itself and even the whole world that was sustained by God's presence. Who could imagine this? Yet, the destruction of the temple is exactly what Jesus predicted in the gospel today. And because the well-being of the whole world was thought to be connected to the well-being of the temple, Jesus took the opportunity to speak about the end times and his second coming, cosmic stuff. Sort of like a chain effect. Take down the temple and the loss of the world results. Who could have imagined a world without the temple, a world without God's presence? Certainly Jesus' listeners couldn't imagine it. But guess what? Even God couldn't imagine it. Even God wouldn't imagine it. You see, when it comes to God's presence, when it comes to a temple as a center of God's presence, God continued to provide in a genius way after the destruction of the temple. Jesus became the new temple before the old one was lost. Do you remember how Jesus said about the temple in John chapter 2? Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And the Bible tells us that he was talking about the temple of his body. So the Jewish temple lasted until 70 AD. But the eternal Son of God took on flesh 70 years earlier. The humanity of Jesus was the temple of God, which was to replace that Jewish temple. So for about 30 years, Jews and Gentiles alike had the privilege of encountering Jesus as he walked this earth. Now to encounter Jesus, the new temple, was to encounter God. And then another step of genius. When Jesus Christ knew that the temple of his own body was going to be sacrificed on Calvary, he provided another means for encountering his presence. The night before he was crucified, he instituted the Eucharist. He started the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This means that until the end of time, God's people would never have to experience the unimaginable. They would never have to experience a world without the real presence of Jesus, a world without the new temple of God. God would always provide a place of encounter with him, and that place is here in Mass, because here is the real body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And then, even outside of Mass times, Jesus is here in the tabernacle so that we can encounter him. Here is his real presence, the privileged place of encounter with God. God himself never dreamt of a world without a privileged place of encounter with him. That's why the Heavenly Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ established the church, to which he gave his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the form of the Eucharist. And we experience his real presence until the end of time. What a genius design. No wonder Jesus is called the Logos, the logic of God. Just on Friday, we celebrated the feast of St. Albert the Great, one of the most brilliant thinkers that ever lived. He wrote extensively, not only in philosophy and theology, but also in scientific areas such as physics, meteors, minerals, sleep, breathing, and botany. St. Albert advanced all these academic areas. Well, this brilliant, saintly thinker compared the Eucharist to the Tree of Life back in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember that there were two trees? One was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, from which Adam and Eve were not to eat. The other was the tree of life. The tree of life poured out life into all creation, beginning in the Garden of Eden. Well, likewise, the Heavenly Father poured his whole life from all eternity into his Son. And the Son, Jesus Christ, having life in himself from the Father, poured his life into the sacrament of the Eucharist. And then the Eucharist pours Jesus' life into us. We really can't live the divine life intended for us without a privileged encounter with God in Jesus Christ. And God, in his infinite wisdom and his amazing mercy towards us, has always provided this privileged encounter in the Eucharist. May we live each moment from the grace poured into us in our latest encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist. And may we live each moment looking forward to our next encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist.